Scripture reading this morning is from Matthew 13, 1-9. And it's from the New NIV. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came out, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no roots. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has... An ear, let them hear. Nelson Martin is presently serving as our bishop, and he has served for 35 years at the Millport Mennonite Church, and we welcome him this morning as he shares generous sowing. Blessings, Nelson.
Well, good morning to all of you. I'm delighted to be here to share with you at Whitmer Heights this morning. And Amanda and I were here, 6 or 8 weeks ago, at Randy's invitation, just to kind of be with the congregation for a morning. And at that time, I had shared a little introduction about my role as interim bishop. I'm trying to retire, but then people ask me about things, you know, that I don't say no. So I'm back here again with you this morning, currently serving as interim bishop in the Mellinger district, your district here, and the Lititz district, which is where our home congregation of Millport is at. And I would have served about 18 years as pastor at Millport, and then another 17 or 18 as bishop of that district. We sat in the deaf service this morning, and that was very interesting, a new experience for us. And we were blessed to be able to share with them. These are days of challenge and turmoil in churches and a lot of unanswered questions, as you know. But some choose to then kind of despair or give up or wring their hands about all the negatives. And there certainly is pain and things that we want to acknowledge. But I'm also here to tell you that Jesus is still head of the church. The church is alive. It's growing. And this morning we want to talk about this idea of planting generously, of sowing generous seeds. There's a great visual aid about this up at, and we don't get to Spruce Lake very often anymore, but as I remember in one of their public buildings, I don't remember which one it was, but there was a painting on the wall, on the front wall, and it showed a sky and it showed some field. And then it had kind of a relief, almost like your sign up here with the Bible in the hands. It kind of had a 3D or relief effect of a person that was sowing. He was going out there with his bag and he was spreading seeds. There was a few birds waiting behind. There was some rocks and some thorns and thistles growing up. But then as your eye continued to follow that painting or that relief there on the wall, after a while, you saw a nice little cluster of green plants, of things that were growing, of things that were breaking through the soil. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, because in this sense of how we plant, how we go about spreading the seeds, sometimes we look around us and we say, well, it doesn't work. And that's what I think some of my passion is this morning. Many of us are familiar in our area with the agricultural kind of backgrounds. Maybe some of us have. I think we live in the garden spot of America. We're kind of taking it away, aren't we? But some of us maybe enjoy gardening. But for some reason this year it kind of snuck up on me. I'm kind of embarrassed. I like to get out there and see how early I can get things done. And this year it was rainy, and then I was doing other things on nice days, and it was cold anyhow. But now suddenly, when I'm just kind of getting a few things started, especially you come over this way, all our Amish neighbors, and there's peas on the vines, and there's just strawberries, and there's all kinds of things are growing. They didn't just happen. Someone's tending them, someone's toiling them, someone's working with them, and so that's part of our challenge here this morning. And I used the word generous this morning in the title because that's intentional, very intentional. Generous sowing, not just sowing, but generous. And I think over the years, and I don't know this congregation or know many of you well, but over the years, I think there's a lot of negativity in this idea of sowing. And I want us to think of it in generous. The 30, the 60, the 100-fold, that does come forth. People have a tendency to say, oh man, it's hard work. You know, and it's gonna fall in this hard soil anyhow, in the rocks. It's so much easier to just sit in our comfortable pews, our comfortable church. People are tired and they're too busy and they're not interested, and so we can't really have VBS or community outreach or some project because it's hard work and no one wants to listen anyhow. That's kind of some of my passion this morning, because we do have a promise in this passage of 30, 60, or 100 times increase. Pastor Randy also told me a few weeks ago, and I'm enjoying getting to know Pastor Randy. We have some meetings together sometimes, and he told me that your overarching word or idea for the month of May is also serving others. And this certainly fits in with serving as we plant generous seeds. Now, I want to go just to two other verses as background. Genesis 8. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Genesis 8 before we look at this passage here in Matthew 13. In Genesis 8, was right after the flood. And we're familiar with that whole story, I'm sure. But Genesis 8, look at verses 20 to 22. Noah built an altar to the Lord, taking some of the clean animals and clean animals and clean birds. He sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of man. Even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood, never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth lasts, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." Now we realize this was right after the flood. There was some new life. There was new challenge to go out, and a big task to go out and kind of redo the planting, the tending of the garden, so to speak. But God gave this promise that as long as it endures, and we're enduring till today, this eternal promise. I also love this idea of in here of this sweet-smelling sacrifice. It was interesting that Jeff Hoffer in the deaf service used that also as an example of our worship this morning is a sweet smell. And I was trying to catch, he said it a couple of times, I was trying to catch the visual that he uses for that, but I won't embarrass myself by doing it. But it was a sweet smell. Do you ever think about that? Do you have a sense that God might be up there in heaven this morning and saying, "Wow, there's some sweet aroma coming out there east of Lancaster or somewhere along 340. We're worshiping, we're bringing our sacrifices, we're bringing our praises to God. And in this context, God says this is a forever principle. I'm going to design it this way as long as earth endures. Seed time, harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 to 9. This is Paul saying, I planted the word, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The person who plants and the person who waters have one purpose. Each will receive accordingly to their own labors, but we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Yes, we humans do the work. We tend to garden, but God is the one in charge. So Paul had certain things to do, and Paul is certainly written up in many, many epistles and many stories and many examples. But Apollos had something to do with it here too. In Acts 18, it says that Apollos was a very talented person, talks about his bold, eloquent preaching. He was, he knew the scriptures well and had a fervent spirit. And so he had his place. You have your place this morning. I have my place. And yet God is the one that sends the increase. God is still in charge. We are part of that family. We are part of God's forever family. But we're building on what God has established, and we do our things. Last Saturday, we had a grandson that got married, and Grandpa was asked to have the service, which was a special honor. And Jeremy and his bride chose as a scripture for a short meditation from Matthew 7, the wise and the foolish builders. And it ties in very much with the same theme, the idea of planting or of building on a rock. And the winds come and the rains come and the floods come, but the house stands. Or you can build on sand or shifting ideas or things that aren't very solid. It was a good theme for a wedding. And so here, as we look at this passage this morning, I think we also realize that it takes time. God is in this, and we just have faith, and we understand what God is doing. When you sow a seed, you don't go out the next morning and wonder why it didn't come up yet. Or maybe you do, but we kind of learn that, don't we? It takes a little patience. We had an area in our yard here a number of years ago that we did some reworking, and I remember planting grass there and watering it faithfully, and nothing happened, and I was getting concerned. And so I called this guy at church who's a landscaper, and over the phone he asked a few questions. Is it shady, and where's it at? And I told him how I watered every day, and he said, over the phone, without looking at it, he said, I know your problem. He said, you didn't wait long enough yet for the seeds to come up. It's exactly right. It came up. We still mow it all the time there. it's healthy. It's well. And so the seeds that we plant might take some time. Will take some time. Well, let's look then at this passage in Matthew 13. And I purposely had the first 9 verses read because that kind of sets the story. Says, okay, this is what it is. This is what happened. This farmer went out to toil. But then there's another part of it in verses, if you have your Bibles open in verses 18 to about 23 is kind of the retelling then. The disciples said, Jesus, why do you keep talking in parables like this all the time? We don't get it. Do you think we would have got it if we were there? Probably not. They didn't get it. And so they said, now what does this really mean? So the first 9 verses, or the first 3 to 9, is really, the basics. This man went out, he sowed. But then they said, so now tell us, what does this really mean? 3 things I'd like to just unpack with you a little bit this morning. Number 1 is, I believe sowing generously is hard work and takes time. Verse 3, it says the farmer went out to sow. He didn't sit at home and think about it. He didn't just delegate others. You guys can go out and work today. I'm going to sit here and drink my coffee. There's some physical work involved. In verses 18 and 19, it's the idea of some herd. So So there was some hearing there. There was something. When you hear something, something is proclaimed. Something is said. Something is talked about. And so this took some time. And so we don't just gather in church and say, let's pray for a harvest. Let's pray for seeds to be sown in our community. We need to do something about that, and we can all do it in different ways. And somehow I get the picture here of this man, this farmer, who just kind of get up and did it. Today, maybe we'd talk about it for a long time. We'd analyze it. We'd have workshops or seminars on how to better plant. We might even form a committee called the Propering Water Techniques Committee. That would be a good one for some of you to be on, wouldn't it? Oh, but it's hard work. It takes some work. It takes some planning too, but there's work involved in going out and sowing. Secondly, we see here in the description that Jesus gives, here in verses 13 and on, or 18 and on, it's hard work. I'm sorry, it's not hard work. Yeah, it's hard work. I've said that already. Secondly, we can expect some troubles and problems as we sow. So what happened? Well, some of it became bird seed, didn't it? That we saw there in even verse 3. The birds were waiting, and so they got some. Verse 19. When anyone hears the message of the kingdom, does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that which was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Birds got some, the evil one got some. We know that we live in a world that has a lot of evil, a lot of temptation, a lot of struggles. And Satan is ready to snatch that truth away. Especially if people don't understand or don't care. It soon gets snatched away. Or maybe they might be arrogant and say, I don't really need this. I'm happy, thank you. My life's doing well. I don't really need this. So some of it did not produce. In verses 20 to 21, we also see the rocky soil explained. Verse 20, the one who received the words that fell on rocky places or rocky soil is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. Good news. That's what the gospel's about. But then since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, it quickly falls away. Rocky soil. We still live with it. We still deal with it all the time. Some don't do well when trouble or persecution or heartaches or sickness or problems of some time come. They just want the glories and the hallelujahs. But life brings its varying experiences, doesn't it? Life comes at us hard sometimes, comes at us fast sometimes, and in varying levels. And I don't know what situations you're facing this morning, but just to know that as we go out with this message, God is with us. God is good. And in verse 22, there's some good intentions. Some receive the word. But it fell among thorns. That's like the word, the person who has the word, but it's not into his life. It's more like the things pull it away. Deceitfulness of riches, choking out, making it unfruitful. There's many things that we could relate to that in many ways. Good intentions get choked out among the worries and wickedness of life that we live in. People try to do good but fail. And there's worries and cares and busyness of life. And maybe business, B-U-S-I-N-E-S sometimes, business of life as well. And so these persons get deceived and fall away. I see myself in some of these. You probably do too. So we could stop now and go home and just, well, no, we're going to have a fellowship meal first, right? But we could get depressed and just say, oh boy, tough. That's the way it is. And I think the church has been that way many times, as I said in the beginning. I read recently a church leader, and I don't even remember the name here where I read it, but if we believe that God reigns and that God has power, why don't we claim that when we gather together on Sunday morning? Yeah, we do claim it in some ways, but the challenge is there. It's a good question. I think we do tend to dwell on the negatives and on those, on the hard soil, and the life is hard and so many troubles around us. But praise God, there's another couple of verses here that we want to wrap up with. Thirdly, I'd say we look for and rejoice in generous growth. So if we have generous sowing, we will have generous growth. Look at verse, well, it's the same in verse 8 that was read earlier. Some fell on good ground, soil. It produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Verse 23, the one who receives the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word, understands it, produces a crop yielding 100 or 60 or 30 times what was sown. How many of you know that's a pretty good deal? If you could give me money this morning and I could say, I'll invest it for you and give you 30 times back, 60 times back, 100. Don't get excited. I don't have that plan. So don't line up to talk to me about that afterwards. That would be a pretty good deal, wouldn't it? 100 times what you give me. So we put a few bean seeds in the garden. And they grow and they grow. And we have beans and beans and beans. Did you ever do that? Pull your beans out because they grow too much? I wonder how many, well, this doesn't matter, I guess. One bean seed, how many, you know, string beans, how many beans does one seed produce? I don't know. Is it 30 or 40 or 50? Doesn't matter. If there's some way you want to research that, I guess that's okay. Or you fill a bare spot in your yard with some grass seed, and after a while it grows and becomes lush. And in the sense here of the 60 or the 30 or the 100, 60, 30, whatever the, however you want to think about that, it's in a spiritual sense. As we generously sow, it comes back to be a blessing to us. So maybe the 3 hours that you spent in studying Sunday school lesson for teaching this week, maybe that'll increase 30 times. By the pupils that heard what you said and went and did something about it. Maybe the few dollars that you put in the offering plate this morning will be multiplied 60 times as it goes to Africa or China or Central America to help others. Maybe the one person that you encouraged to be a missionary, and maybe that you sent them or supported them in some special way. Maybe the persons that'll be saved and changed from that'll be 100%, 100 people. I don't know. But the challenge is there. And so I just encourage you to take these verses and think about them in the context of what is God saying to you. Can we all move from negativity of the thinking about so quickly about the thorns and the hard ground and the soil and the birds and all the bad things that might happen, and think about the 30, the 60, the 100-fold harvest. That's what generous sowing is all about. Let me close with two stories. One is a challenge of what the church can do, and then a challenge of what we can do. And I have no idea about your culture here, about the, don't know a lot about your church, but I think churches need to develop more of a culture of generosity, just like I purposely said this is called generous sowing. Churches sometimes, and I've worked with a lot of churches over the years, I think churches sometimes can be overly frugal, thinking only of the reasons why they shouldn't help someone, or we don't have enough of money, or the all these people in need, but it might be like rocky soil and it'll disappear and won't come back. I was just blessed by a seminar at the Stewardship University, and I suppose some of you probably were there. I was in a workshop, maybe some of you were too. It was called The Glass is Half Full. And it was a Church of the Brethren congregation in Allison Hills, Harrisburg. And I think they started out saying, in fact, that's where the Mennonite VS Center used to be. And they started out by saying Allison Hills is the worst slum area, the worst poverty area in Harrisburg. And I think they also gave a figure of how much it is in the United States. It's one of the worst areas in the city. Here's this church in this worst section of town. And they live by a culture of generosity. Their glass is half full, not half empty. And so they told stories of, they approached stewardship on a congregational level as, what is our attitude of abundance? They pray over their money and then they see how they can give it out to as many people as possible. They focus on possibilities, not problems. And they said the community is noticing, lives are being changed. And I just thought, wow, wish we had more churches like that. Maybe you're like that way in a lot of ways. I don't know, but it's a challenge. And then the second is, how can we as sowers go out and be generous sowers? Well, you all reach out in many ways. You have people you reach that we don't. But we all have challenges. And I think as we go to think about where am I sowing some seeds? Where am I being generous? Where am I reaching out to others? And a man, I have had a few exciting seed sowing opportunities this past year or so. The local ministerium had kind of started a free lunch program over summer for kids in the community that needed food. And then this developed, wasn't just kids coming, it was people in wheelchairs and on crutches and persons with great needs. And so we turned it into our church worked then with a free weekly meal every Tuesday night. And then this turned into some people now that are coming to Millport to church. They're bringing some messiness. They're bringing some problems. They're bringing some baggage. But it's a way of reaching and touching people's lives in a new way. And then there's a man that is part of this group that comes, but he had come to church before that some, and kind of a misfit in some ways and just needed a lot of help, an older man. Older man, now he's my age, that's right. But hey, anyhow, he's a little younger than me. But, yeah, well, okay, anyhow. So, but he has a lot of problems. A lot of needs, and try to speak into his life. I remember the frustration sometimes of going to his house and what am I going to help him with today? And sometimes I wasn't sure if he even cared that much about what I said or did for him. I just wasn't quite sure, but we established a relationship. His wife got sick and died in the meantime over last summer, I guess it was, and we tried to walk with him, and he had people at church to support him. And so one day when he was really down, discouraged when I got there, and I was just kind of rambling on about how bad things are and all that, and I made some comment. I said, remember, God loves you. And you have a whole bunch of people now at Millport that care about you too, you know. And he said, yeah, and you're my friend. I was like, wow, I didn't know if he called me a friend or not, but he did. So we still continue. So I'm not saying that you all go out and find that kind of a person to be a friend, but all of us have ways. That's my burden of this message this morning, that all of us have ways that we can reach out, whether it's as a congregation, as your congregation here at Whitmer Heights, whether it's you as an individual, just remember we keep sowing the seeds with joy and then keep watching for the harvest that God will bring. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this time to be here this morning. Thank you for the Whitmer Heights congregation, for Pastor Randy and the leadership team here, and each person that goes in and out these doors. And yes, for the blessing and encouragement too from the deaf church that meets here, and the enthusiasm they bring to their lives and to their worship. And Lord, just help us all to want to follow you in new ways, and to know that as we go out sowing the seeds generously, yes, we know that some will not fall in good soil, but help us to just be thinking of the harvest, of that which will be on good soil and produce a harvest in your timing and in your way. Thank you for being with us here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.